All right, everyone, on today's episode of Nothing Major, we're going to keep talking about the World Tour Finals. We want to brag about our some numbers we hit on Spotify and a few other random things. So let's get going on this Friday show. All right, everyone, we're back. Got Jack Sock, John Isner, Steve Johnson, Charlie Fox, the team at SIFT. Before we get going, guys, I want to harp on something from like a year ago. Two mornings ago in our front yard, I saw two bobcats in the driveway. Nice. I'm even more confident than ever that I would take it out in a fight. Oh, we don't need to get into it. It was like this small, and dude, I'm just saying.
You're useless when it comes to hand-to-hand combat, I would assume.
I'm just saying. It made me feel even more, you know, confident that I would take it out in a fight. So just wanted to mention that.
Still incorrect a year later.
No. I took a yoga class the other day for the first time in a long time. It's one of those classes where I got there a little late, so then I had to go right in the front. It was like the worst thing ever. Oof, you know, there's nothing worse. There's no room. You know, John, too, is a tall guy.
Yeah, you got to go back classes, row, dude.
I couldn't. I got there late, and I was in the front row. They're doing jumping jacks. I'm just flinging sweat on everyone. It's just the worst. What's your feeling? The guys that take their shirts off in yoga classes.
Yeah. Was it a hot yoga?
It's hot yoga for sure. You're that guy, Stevie?
No, God, I don't do yoga. I hate yoga. I think it's horrible.
I mean, a good workout, but I just, oh man, I don't like the guys that are taking their shirts off in the hot yoga.
No.
It's pretty lame.
It is, right?
I agree. I do yoga. I try to do yoga once a week in a big class, probably 30 to 40 spots. Typically, I'm one of like three guys in there. The other two always have their shirts off.
Yeah, it's... Just keep it, because then it's you're already like, if it's three guys and 27 girls, you don't want to be that guy. It's like, oh, you're taking your shirt off because you're like, you know, trying to be smooth around the ladies.
But dude, if you're single, there's no better place to go as a guy than a yoga class.
I agree. I think the women judge you. I don't think they want to be like talked to at the yoga classes.
They don't, but you know, you can plant a seed there at the yoga class.
And like post yoga, go get a macho with her, ask her to get like a little
Get a macho. you nailed it, Jack.
Yes, yeah, so spot on. All right. Well, female listeners, let us know if you're a single female and you're at the yoga, do you want a dude who's got your shirt off in the class talking to you? I just feel like no.
I feel like you want a dude that doesn't take the shirt off, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm with you. Taking the shirt off.
You're trying to brag about your yoga body.
Yeah, yoga
exactly.
Bodies.
That's what we're trying to do.
That's exactly what you're trying to do. All right.
Hey, Samuel, before we get to the tennis, can I ask John a question?
Yeah.
Where did you stand on the Christmas decorations last year when we talked about it?
Because I
see a tree behind you.
Yeah, decorate. No, it's music.
No, the tree's behind you, no?
I know, but my gripe was with
the music. Got it.
Music.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, I like Christmas music to be post Thanksgiving. Decorations, I'm fine. The music, I can't have it.
I couldn't remember where you stood on that, but yeah, we have decorations up as well. But yes, music needs to be after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely.
Agree.
Sorry.
All right, let's move on to World Tour Finals. Going to start with Alcaraz taking out Demonauer to clinch the year-end number one. Remember, what do you mean, no, John?
Took out Musetti.
Yeah, he did.
Sorry.
Leave it in, guys. Leave it in.
We're not cutting that.
Leave it in.
I meant that. I meant him and Demonauer got through.
I know you did.
All right, I know. All right. You're right, Jack. Hand up.
Jack, I'm tumbling him right now.
Alcaraz takes out Musetti to clinch the year-end number one. Let me start with Jack, because he was the only one kind of being nice to me there for the mess up. It was nice going into the year-end finals. Like, it looked like Carlos was going to have this massive lead and lock up the year-end number one, but he actually did have a little pressure because Sinner like came on strong at the end. Do you think that Alcaraz, like, that was like a massive thing that was on his mind going into the year-end finals, clinching the year-end number one? Or you think he was just going in, let's try to win Turin and get out of pool play, and it wasn't something that was really on his mind?
No, I think it was for sure. I think those guys, I think when you've won that much, you've won slams, you've been number one, it seems like they always say like world number one, like that's, I feel like they love saying that. Obviously there's a lot of pride in that. And I think finishing the year at number one is a massive feat, obviously something to accomplish. So I think that was just as important as winning these matches and finishing the year strong was finishing number one as well, I would think, for sure.
Yeah, unbelievable year. He is the 11th player to claim the year-end number one title more than once. He also was in 9 consecutive finals at one point this year. Pretty insane. You know, these getting into the same stats at Federer, Rafa, and Novak that we always talk about. Stevie, you said you were going to quit the pod if you didn't end number one. Congrats.
I'm back.
You don't have to do that. You are back.
I'm back.
You are back. The match against Musetti, 6-4, 6-1. That was the match that he won to clinch it. He tight first set there. Musetti played a great first set. Then he ran away with that afterwards. But that group, Alcaraz goes 3-0. Everyone else goes 1-2. And I think as a pod, the consensus was it was going to be like Alcaraz and Fritz are most likely going to get through it. But Demonauer kind of finds this weird little, like, he was one of two other guys or three guys total that went 1-2. And he, Demonauer, was 0-5 in the event previously, right? He lost 3 matches the last time he was in it, 2 in this one.
0-16 against top 10 in his last 16.
0-16, yeah. Talk about Demonauer. And that was so that's a massive win for him, not only to get over that little, like, 0-16 hump, but he gets through to the semifinals now. Does he have any chance of going further than a semifinal?
No. That's the short answer on that one. No, he's going to get absolutely rocked by Sinner in the semis. But yeah, no, it's really cool. I mean, look, he didn't realize, I guess he qualified in Paris a couple weeks ago, like, you know, for that match. And I think that was maybe good for him. And then beating Fritz, he needed to beat him in straights to have any shot. And he said he didn't know that. So I'll take him at his word. And I think that probably helped him, because if he knew he had to beat Fritz in straights, like in that round robin match, maybe he gets nervous. Maybe he doesn't play as well. But it's crazy because you know, it's probably such a negative for him. He's like, oh, I'm 0-5 and World Tour Finals, like, matches. And, you know, I don't know, like, that's got to be hard to get to the year-end final, to have this amazing run, you know, for 12 months and then not win a match there. Like, I think that's got to be difficult. You know, I would have no idea. But I think more of this is on Fritz just a little bit. I think he lost the plot. I don't know if you guys watched the match when he played Carlos. Up a set, 2-all, break points, like good looks at break points to like go up a set and a break, didn't get it. And I think after that game, Carlos was like, okay, like, I think he was nervous in that moment, just trying to like get year in number one. And then after he got through that game at 2-all, I mean, he was full firing, you know, it just looked like the momentum was kind of out of Fritz's sail. So I think, you know, kind of a combination of everything, but it's crazy that he, you know, wins one match, gets it in straights, and then still gets to the semis. I mean, it's one of those weird loopholes, like you mentioned. There's only 2 other guys. I think it was Nishikori and maybe Nalbandian way back in the day that did that, if I'm not mistaken. But
it almost feels wrong to go 1-2 and get to the semis. But you're right. Sometimes it happens. John, is Fritz – I mean, obviously it's a good year for Fritz. He's going to end the year top 10. He's got to be a little bummed.
We've spoken about Fritz, obviously, on this pod a lot. And what we've said in the past is when the dust settles, at the end of the year, you typically see Taylor Fritz as a number one ranked American. Good chance to finish number one again this year. I think he had a great year. I mean, he backed up his year last year, finishing top 5 in the world with this. It was fantastic. He battled a few health issues, I think, throughout the year, but in typical Fritz fashion, and just kind of just powers through everything.
Yeah.
So it does seem he finally ran out of gas a little bit against Demon there in that match yesterday, knowing that I think if Taylor just wins one set, he likely advances, right, to the semifinals. So he had a lot to play for, did not play his best match. Obviously, credit to Demon. He picked it up, especially in that first set tiebreaker, won the first set tiebreaker easily, and then kept the momentum up. And also for Demon, he served for the match against Musetti. You know, so that match should have been just winning in for either one of those guys. But he lost that match against Musetti, somehow still gets in. I think getting in at 1-2 is just awesome. I love it. You know, I don't think take it, you know, see what he can do against Sinner. But Fritz, he had a great year. Now he's got to get back home and rest up and get ready to do it again. I imagine he's going to be the ATP Cup again. They have that next year.
He's doing that again.
Mm-hmm. Well, if he's a number one ranked American.
No, he's already confirmed. I think the list came out.
Oh, beautiful. All right. So
the United Cup, by the way. It used to be the ATP Cup.
Yeah, the United Cup. Yeah. My bad. You're right. It's the United Cup. So, no, he had a great year. I mean, what more can you ask for? He's from my mind, he's maximizing right now, and that's really all you can ask for. So look for him to kind of recoup, get his body healthy. He said as much in his press conference yesterday. He needs to get it, 100% and get back to the practice court and try to close the gap on these players ranked ahead of him.
But a bit disappointing he didn't get out of the group, I will say.
It is. I mean, he made finals last year. It's a bit disappointing. I mean, he after opening up his campaign with a straight set win over Musetti, it looked as if he was going to get through for sure. He was definitely the favorite, especially after that first day. But Carlos Tugud just dominates the group and leaves a little window for each of those three guys to try to get in at 1 and 2.
Did you guys see Carlos? He got like the trophy yesterday on the court for making number one in the world, little ceremony. First time I've ever seen him not look super smooth. The suit that he was wearing was like, meh.
I didn't see it.
I'm just saying, like, the hair, anything he does with his hair, you're like, all right, Carlos, he's pulling it off. It was like the first time, like, didn't look perfect.
It was like a planned suit and everything. It just didn't. But yeah, didn't.
I mean, of course, he's,
it's like they just found it in the back.
No. There's no way that's the case.
Was it like one of those intentionally baggy suits?
I don't know. I need
someone to tell us. The baggy clothing is out of control.
Like the 2005 like NBA draft class suits, so like LeBron and Carmelo and all those guys.
Yeah, it was just
like with the pinstripes.
Yeah, it's huge.
We're so used to Roger looking like absolutely perfect every time he gets like an award. There it is right there. Like it's
what's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just.
Sam is not shouldn't be our
I think you're too critical. I think you're too critical.
What do you mean? For sure. I just expected the dapper fitted perfect suit.
Taking fashion critique from Sam is like taking return valid, of serve valid. Critique from me. So
All right, I'll move on.
What more do you want?
Like just a perfect suit, button up tie, like Fed. I don't know. Maybe I'm just used to like Fed or would just like wear like
no one wear the tie out there.
I know no one could do it. Anyway, all right, we'll move on here. My bad. The other group, the Bjorn Borg group, Sinner is in first place. He's 2-0. He's currently up on Shelton as we're recording right now. He's going to win that group. Took out Zverev, 4-3. He took out Felix, 7-5, 6-1. That's 29 consecutive indoor matches won. Jack, in your opinion, if Sinner and Alcaraz do meet in the finals of this event, is Sinner the favorite or is Alcaraz the favorite in turn right now?
I think because of the indoor streak and everything he's on, I think Sinner like slight favorite, but I have it at 50-50 to be honest.
I feel like we keep doing this like every time they've played this year as a group collectively, I feel like we kind of tend to lean Sinner.
No,
and then,
we
like
don't.
Alcaraz like shuts us up.
I don't know why I have Sinner just like slightly ahead just in general in my head, but I keep getting
proven. Well, it's probably because he's won 29 consecutive indoor matches.
Could be part of it.
And he won Paris and he won Vienna.
I had Sinner as the major favorite if they meet up in the finals.
Major favorite.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Stevie didn't like that.
Well, I mean, they have 75% chance. Like I
75% chance?
Absolutely. Indoors.
They have played once indoors, those guys, if they get
there. Can I take those odds?
When did they play indoors, Stevie?
Back in 2021.
All right.
That's good.
And
that's good.
Who won?
That's good tidbit.
I mean, Alcaraz.
Yeah.
All right. That's not that sample size is.
That was probably Sinner's last loss indoors.
Hey, Stevie, I beat Sinner in 2021, okay?
No, you didn't. There's no way that's possible.
I did. I beat him in Cincinnati. Yeah. It might have been 2022.
We could probably verify.
That's not indoors. That's not indoors. It doesn't count.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
We could probably find that.
You can't compare 2021 Sinner to.
Yeah, they were both like 14 years old at the time, of course.
I think he was better in 2022. Better win for you.
Well, just so we know here, Sinner has won his past 25 matches versus the ATP top 10, who aren't Carlos Alcaraz. He's not dropped a set in round robin play, and he's not dropped a service game in round robin play so far in turn. Like pretty amazing. Cause it's not like he doesn't have a Shelton serve or even a Zverev serve at time. He's got a good serve, but
he backs it up pretty well.
He backs it up with everything.
Yeah. He backs it up pretty well.
Really, here's a quote from him. I feel it suits my style of tennis perfectly. When someone hits hard, it's very difficult to change the pace of the ball. Playing indoors helps me a lot. There's no wind, no sun. You always have the same sensations on the court. That, at least for me, helps me stay much more comfortable throughout the match. It shows. He doesn't hit a ball not in the center of the string. Stevie, later today, tonight, this pod will come out already. Zverev plays FAA, Felix Auger-Aliassime. Who do you have in that one and why?
I have Zverev. The
winner of that goes through. You got Zverev.
I got why? Zverev in that one just based on, you know, the fact that this is the kind of match that Zverev does well. In this, like, format, he does well. And he plays Felix, who will potentially have a lot of errors. Like, this is where Zverev can grind it out from the baseline, be back there, be comfortable, try and make it 10, 15 ball rallies and eventually get a Felix miss. So I'm going to take Sasha. I mean, his return is amazing. I mean, that's going to, you know, neutralize Felix's serve. And then once they get in the point, I just don't see how consistently Felix can beat Sasha from the ground. Like, I just don't see that. And so that's why I'm going to take Sasha. I mean, this is one of those matches where you're very comfortable with Sasha, like, just playing his game, his normal game, right? Like, you need him to step out of the box against the big two guys, or Novak for that matter. But he's going to get it done today against Felix and move on. And then he's going to have an absolute war with Carlos in the semis, I think. So I think he gets it done relatively smoothly. I mean, Sasha's been serving really well. And, you know, if he can return like normal, then he's going to be just fine.
John, you agree with Stevie? Or remember, Felix beat Zverev at the U.S. Open, played phenomenal. That's probably the best I've seen Zverev play this year at the U.S. Open. You have Zverev as well, or are you taking Felix later tonight for that final spot in the semifinals?
I think I'm going with Felix. Indoor Felix is a different Felix. He's like, he's just much better indoors. It's his best surface. It's very tight. Stevie thinks
6-3 for Zverev.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so you think Zverev comfortably. I think very tight. I lean towards Felix just because he's been playing better lately and he's loves playing indoors. So I'm going to take Felix in three sets in that one.
All right. I think I lean with Stevie on that. I'm going Zverev, just a little more consistent. Jack, let's get your opinion on this one too. Who are you taking that one later tonight?
I think I might go with the I don't know. I might go with the big man in this one. I might go indoor Felix. Like, if I get like some Laver Cup Felix or indoor Felix, I think he can.
Nothing major wager. Jack,
yeah,
and I.
Yeah, we get 2v2 here.
Felix has kind of got year-end momentum here.
He's kind of got some swag right now on the court. He's like, yeah, he's feeling himself. He's hitting the ball.
Year-end momentum until today.
All right, let's talk Shelton a little bit. He went 0-3 in pool play here since the injury at the U.S. Open. It's been a little bit of a struggle these last like four or five events, but he rates him his year 8 out of 10. Frankly, I'm giving him a 10 out of 10. The injury is a little bit out of his control. Stevie, what are your thoughts on Shelton's year? I thought he had an incredible year. We've said it all year. He shows up at the big events. He's playing, you know, at the Slams, the Masters Series. That's when he steps up. You know, next year, can he end the year even higher than what he is going to end this year?
Yeah, I think he can. I mean, I think it's a good maybe talking point because, like you mentioned, he is like a big match player, right? I think he is. Like, I know he is. He's 4-20 against the guys in Turin collectively. Like, so that's not ideal. But again, he's young. He's just getting there. It's going to take some time. I mean, what he's done the last 24 months is amazing. So, you know, he's going to figure it out. He has the firepower. And every year he's gotten better. You know, even, you know, every couple months, you feel like there's one little piece of his game that is maybe missing or lacking. And he figures it out. I mean, he's going to be just fine. At some point, he's going to be comfortable playing these top guys and consistently beat them. Because, you know, I just don't think you can beat the top guys with strictly firepower. He's going to have to just do a little bit more and he'll figure it out. Like, I have no issues. I mean, his year was awesome. He makes the ATP finals. He's competing for the biggest events, won a Masters Series. Like, what more do you want other than, you know, a slam win or, you know, making the semis finals of this event? But overall, awesome year for Ben, and he's just going to continue to get better. And that shoulder injury was a bummer. Like, you know, absolute bummer at the U.S. Open where he was playing well.
Alcaraz is going to play Felix or Zverev, and Sinner is playing Demonauer. Does anyone here have anyone other than Sinner or Alcaraz meeting each other in the final?
No,
but I think Alcaraz could potentially be in some trouble if he faces like a really big serving.
Right. He has the year end number one locked up now.
No, that doesn't. He wants, yeah, you know.
Now he's free.
I don't see it. You gotta feel the
you
mid-season.
Think Felix is gonna beat Zverev, but then Zverev might give him trouble.
I do think Felix is gonna win, but if Zverev gets through, I like that matchup with him over versus Alcaraz over Felix. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I think Felix, slight favorite, but I like the matchup for Sasha against Alcaraz over Felix against Alcaraz. That's what I'm saying.
You think Alcaraz cares who he plays in that match or no?
No, I think he's penciled in a Sunday final with Sinner.
Yeah. Well, hold on, Jack. Do you think Alcaraz is watching the match tonight? If you're Alcaraz, do you think he wants to play Felix or Zverev? Or do you literally think he doesn't care because he is going to be such a big favorite?
I think he truly doesn't care, but like if you always have that like little small thing probably in your head, like I'm sure he'd probably rather play Felix, but like I really don't think he cares.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, I will say,
I'm kind of with you.
I think Sinner's got a walkthrough to the finals, and it's going to be a tougher match for Carlos, whoever he plays. I mean, no offense to Demon.
It's a little tougher. Yeah.
But
a little
tougher
for Carlos.
All right. On the Monday show, we'll be back to recap the finals.
I'm taking Demon.
But you got to feel like. You got to feel that.
Could you imagine Demon takes out Sinner and Alcaraz and wins the thing?
Yeah, that would be unreal. One and two.
That would be unreal.
You got to feel that the men's season is going to culminate with Sinner v. Alcaraz, right? They've dominated all year. Kind of has to end with those two facing each other.
It would be sad if it didn't.
Yeah.
Exactly. Can you imagine if that match was for year-end number one?
Oh, that would be unreal.
Unbelievable.
It does. Yeah. Maybe all right, let's
pivot. Up for next year.
Hopefully we get that on Sunday and we can recap it. We teased this on the Monday show. I want to go back, a little WTA talk, Danielle Collins. We mentioned on the other show. She's looking for a serious significant other, serious boyfriend. She doesn't know we're doing this. She might not even like this, but we are taking applicants for her on the pod. And then if we feel like we get four or five good ones, I will then reach out to her and try to bring her on the show and be like, look, we've pre-screened a bunch of guys. We feel like we have four good ones for you. Let us know what you think. We want your resume. So like, but we need name, age, job, a description of yourself. And again, like this is Collins. Like we want the Winklevosses coming through here. We want those good quality men.
The Winklevosses.
The Winklevi twins.
The Winklevosses. Like, we want some Kennedys for
crypto
Collins.
Titans.
Yeah, crypto Titans.
I got a DM applicant in my DMs.
I will say you are going about this the right way, Sam. You want to have like a good plan in for before you go to her. You don't want to come to her empty-handed. You want to come with like a proper presentation.
Yeah, again, and she still might say no because she doesn't even know we're doing this. We're just trying to be good friends, good people, and bring her and be like, hey, Danielle, we see what you're doing. Like we have four or five great candidates for you if you want to look through their resumes. And then maybe she's interested, and then maybe we bring you both on the pod. You could do a little virtual meet with us moderating.
We can host a little online date.
Again, if nice photo, if you're going to send it, send your applications or your little description to the Nothing Major, like a couple photos and just strong applicants, though. You know if you're strong or not. This is for Danielle Collins. Like, just use common sense.
6'2", very 6'2", very driven. I love long walks on the beach. Like, you know, we want good stuff.
Exactly.
I got one in my DMs. 31 years old, 6'2", music producer in LA, twice Grammy nominated. Hobbies include tennis, obviously weightlifting, reading, cooking. It would be an honor to be considered.
All right.
He started with humbly submitting my husband application for Danielle Collins.
All right. We're off to a good start.
Good one, Jack.
Yeah,
we're gonna go through these and Danielle, if you're listening, like just we got you.
We appreciate because we have guys sliding in the DMs. So
we must have.
Appreciate
all right, we got some good listeners out there who
don't slide into her DMs. Slide into our DMs.
yeah, exactly. I guess also Monday too. The very highly anticipated Isner's been talking about it all week. Maldives watch is just going to be incredible. Isner, you especially if you want to just tease it, you've been doing your homework. Got a phenomenal list going.
First of all, I'm glad we got this ATP Finals talk out of the way so we could talk Danielle Collins and Maldives holidays.
Our Maldives major.
I have an Instagram mole, this guy that's been doing research for me. He's like my little lackey, and he's been sending me some just absolute gold from the Maldives. I appreciate him so much, and I've been sending it in to our group chat. We've all been cackling for the last...
He's getting a shout out on the Monday pod.
100%. He's getting a shout out. I'm not gonna reveal his name today.
Does he want his name to be shouted out, or does he want to stay anonymous?
That's a good question. Maybe I'll ask him. Yeah. But he's been incredible, and he loves it just as much as we do. So it's not just the big name players that are in the Maldives.
It's crazy how many are there. Anyway, we're really gonna dive in. Monday is gonna be like a half a Maldives episode.
Yeah, Maldives holidays.
Maldives holidays. Yes, that's not a vacation.
Maybe we're not talking. We know Sabalenka's there.
holidays.
Medvedev's there. We're not giving anything away there, right? Sabalenka said so in her press conference in Riyadh.
Yes. Right.
I want to go Maldives. And so, but we got some lower ranked players that are, it's just pure gold.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. All right. I think that's it for the Friday. Unless you guys got anything else you wanted to talk about. Stevie's about to hit TC Weekly at Tennis Channel.
Yeah, tune in. Tune in. We're going to break it all down once again. Hopefully I'll get some information correct.
Yeah. All right, that's it. Again, follow us on all the social networks.
How much does it hurt you to say that every week?
I can't stand it, honestly, say that.
I feel like, oh my God,
look, my wife just brought in. Oh, shoot.
That's unbelievable.
Damn it.
Abby, that's awesome. She can't hear me.
Are those some flapjacks?
I'm very jealous.
Honestly, what do you do around the house, Sam? Do you do anything?
Guys, I do. I got up 5:30 this morning. All the lunches packed. Everything like
that's not good. Good for you. Yeah. Good for you.
I'm very helpful around the house. Every time I actually hate when any podcast like hit that subscribe button, hit that follow button. Like obviously,
hey, are we not going to hit the Spotify news?
Oh my gosh, that's right. We hit.
Good call, Stevie.
Thanks to Nothing Major Nation. Hey, you say it, Stevie. I'm gonna eat my.
No, that's all you. I want you to keep eating your pancakes.
1 million views across Spotify since inception. That's just Spotify, not Apple Pod or YouTube, but pretty exciting. And then also, what was the other thing? We were nominated in England. I forgot to mention this. We were nominated at the Broadcast Sports Award for Best Sports Pod of the Year. Apparently, it is a big deal in London. We had never heard of it. The winner was The Rest is Football. I'm assuming that's a soccer podcast. But anyway, just felt great to be nominated. We had some of the team members from...
We didn't win.
Did not win.
But, do you think that we got more or less followers after the UK pet peeve segment?
I think more.
I think more, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think they... I mean, they own it.
I randomly thought about another pet peeve of mine, UK pet peeve.
Ooh, what do you got for us?
What is it?
The eggs. They're not refrigerated when you go to the store.
I noticed that, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I know, like, you know, chickens don't lay eggs in a fridge, but it's like, you want them in the fridge, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to buy a lukewarm egg.
But that's a European thing.
I understand, but it's like, especially at, like, what's the gas station at Tesco?
Tesco.
You always go there and you buy your little six-pack of eggs, and they're just sitting there at room temperature.
Why they're ruddy at the breakfasts in the morning and stuff?
No, that's just because they're undercooked.
No.
They're never in the fridge.
Yeah.
All right, good show. See everyone back here for Maldives episode on Monday.
Oh, I'm so excited.
John's going to break it down for us.
This is the most excited I've been. Wait, this is where this podcast thrives. It's not during the season. It's the off season.
The next 7 weeks are going to be massive. Everyone's going to love. The next 7 episodes are going to be our best.
It's going to be our best. There's no results to go over. It's going to be great.
That's what we'll be shine. All right, see you guys.
All right, see ya.